Alrighty, well, we're ready to go, and I wanted to say hello to everyone and welcome to our August teleseminar. I first wanted to take this time to thank everyone for their support, also the continued compliments and emails that I receive on a regular basis from all the Member Solutions clients. And I also feel really great knowing that I'm making a difference in people's lives, and I'm honored because, you know, as you all know, as martial art teachers, you know, we give to our students. They don't see how hard we work behind the scenes at putting all the stuff together, like, you know, the 2-4-6-week calls, the retention calls, and all of these things, and the list goes on and on. And, you know, how much time of our personal lives that we sit on computers and emails and talking to families and so on without ever really being thanked, you know. I'm not saying that we never get it, but the majority of people just assume that that's our job and that's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, when I talk about one of my marketing campaigns to teachers, you'll understand what I feel about how important teachers are. So anyway, I'll get started, and I'm very excited about this teleseminar and its contents due to the fact that I'm currently using all of them in my schools, and I've been getting good results already, or if I should actually say great results. Despite the talk about our economy, and there are still people out there that are purchasing products and joining schools. So with that being said, I want to pose a question to all of you. In what areas do you see the downturn economy, or should I say, in all the people that are saying the economy is a downturn economy, what's the answer to the question that's being asked of how do we grow our schools in this time? The answer is quite simple, and you have to first view all of this as a lesson. Hopefully, which I'm sad to say I'm not seeing, but hopefully most schools are surviving. I am hearing about a lot of schools closing down. And I don't like that, but, I mean, there's a majority of the players that are doing unbelievably well. So what's the difference? You know, are you seeing this as a lesson? Are you preparing ahead of time? The answer is you need to learn how to better manage your money. You need to learn how to cut on your expenses and things that are not good for your school, finding better ways to create new students. You have to be quite selective on what you cut back on, though. Remember, marketing is not an area that you should be cutting back on, nor should you be cutting back on education, on how to run your business. In fact, the reason why a lot of schools fail is because they're not educated on how to make it through this. Let me tell you a quick story. About 10 years ago, there was not a marketing media that I didn't utilize to advertise my schools. I'd advertise on shopping carts, register tape on the supermarkets, billboards on buses, and ad every single week in the local papers, but not one, but four. I would do 2,500 door hangers per week. I'd hand deliver them to the houses, or I'd have my staff do it. I would do fairs, shows, demos, parent shows at my school, et cetera, et cetera. My phone continually rang off the hook. I have to be honest to the point that it was annoying. I was signing up between 30 to 50 people on a good month, and on a slow month, 25 to 30 people. So my schools obviously grew by leaps and bounds. I met with my accountant, and he told me that the majority of my money that was being spent was spent on advertising. But he felt that there were some areas that weren't giving me return and that I could cut back, and I thought about it. And without blaming him, I decided he was right. Of course, he planted a little seed in my head. I did cut back dramatically, and the good thing was that the phone continued to ring. I noticed a good majority of our sign-ups were referrals, but that was due to the sheer volume of students that I had, and the more students I had, the more referrals I got. I then entirely cut out almost every single piece of my advertising, and lo and behold, the phone continued to ring. It was not for about a year or so that I saw a slight drop in phone calls. The momentum that I had built was so great, it continued to flow continuously for 2 more years. Once I saw a drop in phone calls, I turned my effort to my referral program. This had proved to be a huge student enrollment booster, and year again. I was shocked at the amount of referrals I had received, but just like the other things, it cycled. I didn't have an outside media plan bringing me in students at that moment in time, but I was still getting many new people because I was tapping into my referral program. But remember, people can only refer so many people before they lose motivation. So I guess this is an entirely different seminar, and we'll go into this a little on my referrals at the end. But I realized I had to go back to advertising. The sad reality was I started it again in the tip, the very top of our downturned economy. So the return on the ads were less. The response on the calls were less. There were less people who showed up for the classes. and less people to join at the higher rates. So if I only had kept my advertising momentum going, I probably would be staying in action way higher than I was right now. After all, companies like Dell, McDonald's, Mac, you know, IBM, they never take a break when it comes to marketing. Now, of course, these are world-renowned billion-dollar companies, and you have to ask yourself, even though they're billion-dollar companies, if they continue to market on a regular basis, why should we stop? This leads into our five campaigns. I'm going to make this a slight bit different than I normally do, giving you as much content as possible so you can utilize the campaigns immediately, and also promise you, if you'd like, I can give you individual campaigns in their entirety so that you could email me, I'll send them to you, we could plug them in and just use them in our schools. I'm also going to share with you via email some of the other campaigns as well. So if you email me, you'll get this. So utilize them right away. It's up to you whether you send them out or not or use them or not. We could always talk about it, but I could say once you're on this conference call, you're showing the interest in growing this. Now, I want to yell like Chris Angel, the magician, yells right before he does an illusion, an amazing illusion, I must say. Are you ready? But I don't want to hurt your ears, so I kind of whispered it. So here we go. Let's write these five down. Get your pen ready or type them into your computer. Number one, and I'm going to quickly brief over all five and then give them to you in there in detail. First is the Kono Strikes Back Star Wars campaign. Second, an old student campaign. Third, Hello Teacher campaign that I'm using. Four, Back to School Direct Mail. And five, a referral push, and I titled it Revitalize and Energize. So number one, first let's talk about the Kono Strikes Back Star Wars campaign. Roland Osborne and I became friends in the last year or so, and I respect what he's doing tremendously. He's a bright, out-of-the-box thinker, but he talks far too much. Now I'm only kidding because this is an inside joke between the two of us. He's awesome. I love that he is utilizing the concept of his magazine to make martial arts cool for kids. He's tying in many other concepts such as healthy eating, fun activities, tricking, and he's cementing it into his magazine by reaching the younger generations at their heart. If you're not utilizing Kono Magazine for marketing and retention, I suggest with an exclamation point at the end, get on it right away. Now, I'm also going to say, okay, Roland, now you can pay me in free magazines, but I'm only kidding, of course. Now, here goes. We just recently rented a theater local to our schools. I have to say it wasn't cheap. It would cost us about $1,500. Initially, I had inquired with other theaters, and they were a lot less, $300 and $400, to rent out the theater. But the George Lucas movie is on digital sound and so on, so they only are showing it in certain theaters, and George Lucas is very particular on where these movies get shown. So anyway, we ended up purchasing the theater for $1,500, and I'm sure I can also accredit it to getting ripped off because I deal with high prices every day in Long Island, New York. But we also rented a booth afterwards, which gives us 2 hours to sit in our lobby and hand out Kono magazines and hopefully sign people up for free classes. We also are going to be raffling off 2 week free passes and raffling off a 5 3-month membership to the winners, which we're going to put in a raffle box. Of course, our ultimate goal is to get their name, address, phone number, and email so that we continually market to them afterwards. When we're sitting in there for our booth, we're also getting to reach all the other fans of all the movies, such as The Dark Knight, The Mummy Returns, you know, Journey to the Center of the Earth, and so on. Here's how we tied the movie into our whole Jedi campaign. We're doing a Jedi training night the night before. We're actually doing this on August 15th. The movie opens on the 15th. We're doing our Jedi training on that night, which is going to be filled with fun training, obstacle courses, et cetera, et cetera. We charge $25 for students to come and train with us, and this includes food, drinks, and they can bring a friend for free. It's a buddy night. Siblings come at a discount of $19.99, and they can also bring a friend for free. And notice we've made the siblings pay, because a lot of times parents want a two-for-one kind of thing, and our ultimate goal is to get a buddy in our school. We just don't want to make it a night for kids to hang out only. Anyway, we capped off the event at 100 students and with additional 100 buddies because the theater only holds 200 people. The course is going to cover, from our profits, the entire rental and booth space of the theater. For those of you that can get this much cheaper at your theaters, this will be a moneymaker for you. We also are including passes to all the students and their buddies so that they can come, and we're going to get, hopefully, 100 buddies through this event, through our Jedi training, and get their names and numbers so that we can market to them. Not bad for only $24.99. A parent could pay for a movie, for two tickets to a movie, and have a fun night out for 3 hours with their child. We hope to sign up at least 10, on minimum, I'm being, you know, conservative, 10 people. So if we sign up 10 people from this campaign, that's a $15,000 to $18,000 campaign for us, all costing us only $2,000. And hopefully by the revenue that we bring in from this Buddy Day and from this Jedi training night, we're going to pay for our entire campaign. So it's going to profit us, the students, cost us $0 on marketing. The goal is to have an event that will create a buzz in our schools, give back to the students, and be viewed by the students as a retention tool and an added benefit. We want people to see this as not as another, to see this as a way of us giving back to our students. Also, make note that you should not keep it a secret that you're shooting for referrals. In fact, we made it our rule on our flyer that in order to come, they have to bring a friend. So, you want to let people know to grow your school, you're doing this referral night. And it's no secret in our schools, for every referral a student sends us, we give the referee a prize or a monetary amount of money and points towards a free year program. If this is something of interest to you, please email me and I'll lay out our entire referral program to you. And I've spoken about this many times over on teleseminars, so you can easily listen back to old teleseminars as well as the archives on a lot of the weekly articles I've written on this topic. Okay, on to number two, our old student campaign, which is currently underway. I continually think about students and why they leave. As you know, they leave for all sorts and multitudes of different reasons, money, time, frustration, difficulty, boredom, and one which I find the biggest is life. Simply put, life just gets in the way. They fall out of routine, and before you know it, it's years that have gone by. I just recently had six students stop in one day. I don't know what brought them there. But some of them hadn't trained in over 7 years. They were kids that had started off when they were little children. One of them was moving out to San Diego, and he had us on his list of goodbyes that he wanted to let us know how much we meant to him, and without my teachings that he could never be where he is today. And that was nice to hear. And to you guys, I'm sure when you hear that, it's nice to hear, right? The other people simply always think about the school. They say that they miss it, they'd love to come back, but for whatever reason they don't or hadn't. One of those seven people had signed up in our program, and he paid in full in cash, and this person hadn't been in our school in over 5 years. By the way, his program was for one of our programs of $1,711, and he paid in full in cash that day. Not bad. Anyway, I thought about this long and hard, and maybe, just maybe, I was neglecting my old students. I mean, not giving them enough time and possibly marking to them far too little. So I sent out an email asking for old students to return if they hadn't trained in more than 8 months, because, of course, we don't want someone who's taking off for the summer to come back. Of course, we want them to come back, but we don't want them to come back with a discount. So if they hadn't trained in 8 months or more, I was offering the membership, my full membership, for half price. 50% off. To some, this may seem like a bold move or even crazy. I think of it as a rejuvenation process. I want these people back. Hopefully, they will continue past that first discounted year and also get back into our referral process, giving us more clients. I want them to train, create a buzz, and show everyone why our schools are one of the top schools in the industry. I want them to be a part of all we do. It's my way of saying that we're willing to take the time to invest in them. So we're asking them to please take a shot with us again. So since then, starting that campaign, sending out that email, we've done a few phone calls. We've gotten five old students to come back. These are people that I would have only marketed to twice a year and send out a letter. And I couldn't believe the response, and we're still going strong. And, you know, my goal is, of course, to help them, but I want them back. I want them on the floor. And by the way, I have a letter that I used for this process, and it's available to all next-level clients. And I'm going to throw this in. Kathy might be rolling her eyes, but I'm going to say if you take advantage of that free month on Next Level, I'll send it to you. Anyway, we're moving on to number three. This campaign I'm really proud of. I have to say that, you know, it's something that we came up with on our own. Our staff pulled it together. I want to give credit to our program manager in East Islip. Her name is Marilyn McGahey. She's really awesome, and she pulled this together. Anyway, it's called the Hello Teacher campaign. This is something that I'll be releasing in the middle of September for all of my students who are back to school. We're very excited about this for many reasons, but most of all, it's going to cement our connection to the school system. This program stems from a program that we did in the fall called the Thank You Teacher campaign. Thank you to the teacher campaign. Anyway, I believe teachers to be sages. And remember before I had said I'm going to talk about, well, how important teachers are. Anyway, I believe teachers to be sages. Granted, some are better than others, but who has more impact on your child's life other than teachers and you as a teacher? Who's responsible even more so than the parents for making sure the child knows the basic fundamental skills of reading, writing, arithmetic? Even though this is a known fact, I still hear people continuously in my area complaining about how high teachers' salaries are and how long their vacations are. But with even with that, I don't think that, even though I don't think this to be true, I believe that teachers are amazing individuals. So we've come up with this amazing campaign on paying special tribute to public school teachers. Of course, remember, I'm a ninja, so sometimes there's an underlining method to our madness. We design a letter that we're going to give to the teacher, letting them know how much they're appreciated. We make them aware of who we are as a martial arts school and what we do, and we include this letter in a small paragraph from the parents. We include this letter with a small paragraph from the parents telling them little bits about the child. For example, what the child's favorite activities are, whether they like music, what their children are like, what kind of learners they are, something personal about the kid, how they learn, etc. We find that once the teacher reads this little paragraph, it's a powerful tool for the teacher. They immediately get to know little things about the child that they could take and utilize as a tool to help them learn. So this is how the concept goes. We're handing this letter to the parent. The parent fills out this little paragraph. Now the parent's saying, wow, this is really cool. And you're going to do this all for why? Why? This is not a martial art thing. But we do this to help out our children in our schools. Anyway, that child gets the letter. We put it in a beautiful envelope that's custom made. It says, hello, teacher, with their name and an apple, which I have this available to you if you email me. And then they bring it to the school. Secondly, we're asking for the teacher to fill out a thing that we've designed called the Ninja Scroll. It's a ninja mission. And the teacher has to fill out their name, address, email, and information on it and send it back with the child. If the kid is able to complete his ninja mission and get this little tiny scroll filled out, we then give the kid 15 stickers, which is awarded towards prizes in our school. Now we have the teacher's email, and if the teacher puts their email down, we're going to send them out 16 teaching tips for them as a reward. Something we do in class, and we're talking about things that we do in class that will benefit them in their classroom as well, we now want to get their emails and tie them, those emails into a regular process that we do. So now we send out a letter. I'm just going to go over what we're doing. We send out the initial letter, which is a paragraph on who the kid is and what they're about and all the specialties that they have. Then we have the teacher fill out this card with their email to receive our 16 tips. The kid brings it back, gets a reward for the prize for doing this ninja mission, and we now in turn have all the school teachers' email addresses. We continually send out 16 weeks of information. Of course, we're giving it to them, the information tying in who we are and what we do, so hopefully they're going to like our school and ask us to come in for special person days, to do demonstrations, and so on. We're also at that time giving them free passes for 2 weeks of free memberships in our school to all the kids that are in that classroom, and 1 3-month membership as a reward to the school teacher for their job as a teacher. They could either award that to a child in their classroom or use it for themselves or their kids. Now, we've done really well with our fall campaign, getting about 25 new members from the fall campaign when we did something similar, which was also a tribute to the teachers. I know that this is going to be something really positive, and if it did nothing other than allow the teachers to understand and how important we play a role in their child's life and how available we are to them, it would be amazing. Okay, I'm going to move on to another one. Number 4 is our back-to-school direct mail campaign. This is simple and really won't take all that long. Member Solutions has a mailing solution for you, so you should contact your representative and talk to them about that. You can select a particular mailing list and send out your flyer or postcard to that list. We're taking a more proactive approach. One, we are sending out over oversized postcards, the larger ones, not the 3x5s, but more of the larger postcards. And we're doing that so that we don't get lost in the shuffle. We're giving them 3 days after mailing, after the mail hits, and then we're calling each and every household that we sent it out to. We're not approaching the call as a way to say, do you want to join? But we're taking a less aggressive approach, asking if the postcard itself caught the eye of that person. We want to tell them, just for taking 2 or 3 minutes to talk to us, we're offering them a free 2-week membership that they can get to anyone that they like. By the way, that's listed on the postcard anyway, but our goal with the mailing and the call is to test market and find out what people are thinking, whether they noticed our mailing, if it caught their eye, if they just threw it away, and we want to know what will work. We want to ask them if the heading on the postcard was good, if the phone number was big enough, if the offer was enticing enough to call. We want to know why they just threw it away or if they never even saw it. We need to know that as well, because maybe it's the postcard. Just so you know, we're doing 500 houses. Of course, I have 4 schools, so we're doing 500 houses within a 3-mile radius, and we're testing the message. We're testing the postcard. So again, to recap, we do the mailing, then we do the call. We ask if they want to receive another postcard. If they say, well, I saw it, but I threw it away, then we ask if they'd like to receive another postcard, and we're going to send it out 10 days later with another follow-up phone call. If that person in general right there, that one individual, says, I would rather get more information, maybe it's time to set up a trial class at that point right there and get them to come down, or send them a postcard immediately rather than waiting 10 days. But it's important that we follow up and follow through. I'm very hopeful that this method will gain us at least a 5% response. Now, 5% is low. Out of 500, though, it's just not the mailing program. It's a marketing follow-up. Don't get me wrong. This all takes a huge amount of time, and that's why we're starting with only 500 homes. But our goal is to sign up 25 new students. And if you total the numbers, 25 new students is well worth the cost in the mailing and the time it put into the phone calls. Now, before I go on, I wanted to see if anyone has any questions right now on these 4 topics before I continue. So if, Kathy, we could open up the lines on that or any of the email questions. And if the questions are off topic, I'll continue, and then I'll answer any questions on any other topic. So can we open the lines on that?
Sure. I just open the lines. So if you're on the telephone and you have a question for Allie, just push *7 and you can ask.
Yeah, anybody out there have a question on what I've gone over so far? Nothing? Okay. How about, Kathy, anything pertaining to this on the web that we have? Or
there is a web question, but it's more for something you're about to cover in just a little bit.
Okay, so then I'll go over that later, and then I'll just continue.
Okay.
Okay, so let's mute everybody again so we don't have to hear the background noise, which we started to hear right away. And I'll continue. Okay. One thing that I find that is a topic that I've discussed probably till I was blue in the face is our referral push. The other day I sat down with my team of program managers. I have 4 of them, but when I say the word team, it just sounds so much more powerful. Anyway, I asked one of them if they were pushing the referral program. This individual said to me, yes, with 100% confidence. I was excited that she showed so much enthusiasm. When I progressed and pressed for how she was doing it, and pressed for the reasons why she had no referrals, even though that she was pushing it, she said, I'm asking people every day. I'm just not getting any response. And I thought, wow, this is bad. Why are no one giving her referrals? Why aren't these people referring people to her? Could it be our service? Of course. Could it be the prizes? Of course. But then I asked her, I said, tell me what you're saying. And she said to me, I take the student and the parent, I tell them all about the referral program. I show them how if they do it and they get someone to join, they get prizes and money and a year free, which is huge. I don't see how anyone can jump on it. I then asked her, when did you ask for a referral? And she looked at me puzzled and she said, I just told you. I told them about the referral. I told them about the prizes. I told them about all this stuff. Anyway, bottom line is, she never asked for the referral. She told. She educated. She educated them on principles, on concepts, on theories, on prizes. But she never actually asked for the referral. You know, in my schools, we're taught on the 2-4-6-8-10 week calls, which is the initial contact after 2 weeks of when we sign up a student, all the way through the 10 week, and then we do a 5 month to end each conversation asking for a referral. I have to say that asking and educating is two different things. She never asked. She educated. She would tell what, how, why, but never came straight out and said, can I have at least one name? Every time when I meet with my life insurance and investor guy, he ends up each meeting with a slide of a piece of paper or a pad. No specific form, anything, just a slide of a piece of paper. And he says, can you write down three referrals? I giggle and I wait, and he stares at me, and then I start to write. Even though I know what's going on, I sometimes even have given him names just to get rid of him and take the pressure off. Heck, one time I gave him a name of a person who I knew for a million years would never, ever buy. The problem was this guy didn't know that he wasn't supposed to buy, and he bought. My insurance guy sold him on this program. I was shocked, but it reminded me of what I always say to my clients, that we have to ask for the referral. Now, she wasn't asking, she was telling. So a simple, Mrs. Jones, can you give me one referral this week, is fine. Remember, when people feel uncomfortable, it's because they're leery that if they think that you're going to pester their friend or you're going to bother their buddy and create bad energy between the two of them. So my comment is to reassure them that you're not there to make their lives difficult. You're there to help them gain friends to train with. You're there to help this person gain the lessons of the martial arts. I think it's our goal and it's our duty to get other people in our martial art and spread the word, so we have to get our students to understand that. I have a friend who runs a Taekwondo school, and it's mandatory in their school that you have to bring a friend to every promotion that you go through. If you're going through a promotional ceremony and getting your belt, you have to refer one new member and bring that referral to your belt test or stripe test. To some, this may sound offensive or pushy, but it is an absolute culture in their school, and no one looks on it as negative. I think most of us are afraid. We're afraid because of our own anchors, our own belief systems, that we shouldn't be asking for a referral. Anyway, without killing this, our goal is to call, and this is a homework assignment for everyone who's online or listening on the archive, call each and every single one of your students. And this can't hurt just because you're calling them. They're going to love hearing from you. But call each and every one of your students and ask them if they have 10 minutes of their undivided attention. Ask them if they could tell you why they haven't referred someone to you. Is there something holding them back? Did you do something wrong? Is it the economy? Dig deeper at this. And at the end, if they say they're happy and it has nothing to do with any of those things, ask for one referral or three. You know, I wouldn't just leave it at one, but try as many as you can. Also, of course, remind the student or the parent that a referral is not just a friend, it's the PTA group, it's a bowling league, a club. You'd be surprised when you ask it how many people do stuff other than your martial arts school. I once did a speech at a demo at a biker's picnic. This is a motorcycle biker's picnic. These are tough guys who ride Harleys. They have tattoos, long beards. They wear leather vests, and they have a name on the back of their vest. It's quite intimidating, but I couldn't believe what nice guys they were. We did a demo at their event. I did the speech, and I didn't realize that most of these biker guys had children. I thought you weren't allowed to, you know. I thought that would show that, you know, if you were a gangbanger, you weren't supposed to have a family. You had no personal ties. And I'm being facetious, of course, but I signed up some of these people and their children from this picnic. This group was filled with families running and playing and having fun. They just carried a specific stereotype. So remember, never judge a book by its cover and get out there. Remind people that anything that they're involved with could become a referral source for them. And as you know, unless you educate people on this, they'll never really know truly what they're supposed to do or how they can help. Sometimes they just think that their friend is their referral, and they've asked their three friends that they're closest to them, and those three friends have no interest in your martial arts school. But we have to educate people on, you know, getting out referrals. Anyway, the key goal, again, is to call each and every one of your students and ask them if they can give you a referral. If not, dig deeper and find out why they don't want to give you a referral. This might turn over that rock that's telling you that they're really not all that happy, that you really haven't sold them on your program. So anyway, let's move on. And as you know, I love to over-provide and undersell, sort of like I do, and I'm holding my fingers up for the quote sign. I do in MSI, Member Solutions, and taking it to the next level. So I want to give you one bonus tip. And this is not so much a specific marketing tip, but it is marketing. So number six, if you notice, most of the campaigns that I talked about consist of two different philosophies of marketing, the outside-in and then the inside-out business marketing model. Let me explain the difference. Outside-in is taking outside marketing, such as flyers, door hangers, print media, radio, television, anything that you do from an outside source, creating interest in leads. This is a very traditional marketing approach, and it'll work well if you have the right organization and the understanding and then the consistency. An inside-out business focuses on service first, servicing their clients, more service, and then even more service. The goal is to have people busting at the seams with enthusiasm over the quality and product that you provide, as well as how well you are at communicating with your students and their families. The theory is if you do this properly, you'll find more referrals, more sales, more upgrades, and better retention. Remember, our goal is to market to get students in the door, and you should have an approach where you would do an outside-in and an inside-out, but you can't have one without the other. The goal, of course, is for you to be able to provide an amazing service for the clients so that if you do get outside-in people, they're going to stay with you. And if you have inside-out people, they're going to refer you. They're going to stick with you, and they're going to stay in your program. So don't allow yourself to fall short or fall into one of or the other group. You have to do both. The goal is to divide up your time and analyze what you're focusing your time on. Focus on what you do to advertise and then tweak it and get better at it. Really track how much advertising you're actually doing on a regular basis. Remember, it's really about committed progress, and you should write this word down or this saying down, committed progress, because you could use it when a parent says to you that little Johnny or Joey or whoever, Karen or whatever, they're losing motivation. You have to remind those parents or remind that student or remind that adult that it's about committed progress. If you're not committed to one task and you bounce around from one to the other expecting everyone to always inject motivation in you, then you're never going to be able to succeed. Another thing that is a trackable goal, and our goal is to track the consistency of persistency, another good statement that you'll tell parents and students, that it's about consistency and persistency. For example, when I first met my Japanese martial art teacher, on the first meeting I said to him, and he didn't really understand me all that well, I said, I would like to come to Japan and train with you. He kind of brushed me off, signed a picture, handed it to me, and walked away. A year had gone by, I had sent him a letter, a bunch of letters, and it took a while before I got to see him again in person. Anyway, long story short, from 1986 to 1992, 6 years, I pursued this teacher. I was consistent, and I was persistent, and I stayed on top of my task until finally he said, I would like for you to come to Japan. Interestingly enough, he had told me that his English was so bad initially that he didn't understand my request, and as his English got better, I was able to communicate better with him, but it was all about gaining trust. It was all about gaining momentum and him recognizing me. You know, the first time I met Steven Seagal, I got to have a really great conversation with him. The second time I met him, he really didn't recognize me from the first meeting. By my third meeting with him, he knew who I was. I then bumped into him once, just in general public, and he knew me by name, what was going on, and that's when I started training with him more regularly at seminars and different events. But he kind of knew me. I'm not sure if he still remembers me because I haven't seen him in over 4 years or so. But I built that consistency, and I was persistent enough for him to recognize who I was. So now, remember, inside out, outside in, you should be doing both together. The ultimate goal, of course, is without a shadow of a doubt to tweak your message and work hard. Let me rehash or, you know, go over again real quickly the five tips that I had so that you guys don't forget. Number one was the Kono Strikes Back campaign. You should definitely call Member Solutions and order the magazines. I know that Roland has some kits left where he had the buddy passes, the sign-up sheet, the flyer, and everything. We also went out and ordered this life-size cardboard cutouts of Darth Vader, R2-D2, and all the rest of the crew. So we have them in each one of our schools. And we're doing well. I think that we have 70 sign-ups out of the 100 so far, and we have a week left. So we're hoping to reach our 100 buddy mark. And anyways, Kono Strikes Back Star Wars campaign, two old student campaign. Think about this again. Are you pursuing those old students? It's worth it to give a half-price membership and get those people on the floor if you have plenty of space on the floor. And, you know, if you're signing up tons of people from other sources of advertising, don't give half price. Give off, you know, $250. Just the whole thing is to get people who know you already. It's an easier sell. Number three, the Hello Teacher campaign, which I detailed, and I will most certainly send you information on that if you request it via email. Again, my email is renshilininja@AOL.com. That's renshilininja@AOL.com. If you ever forget that, it's easy as calling up Member Solutions, and they'll refer your email. Email them or ask them for my email, and they'll give it to you. Number four, back-to-school direct mail. You want to do a small test group to see how well you do with direct mail. It's not going to cost you a fortune. And five, your referral push. Revitalize and energize your referral program. These are the five tips. Now, remember, I gave you one extra over providing and underselling, which was understanding the inside-out marketing, knowing that you have to do your service first, and also get out there and get the name out there as well. And I could give you a million lists of all the different things that you should be doing to get the name out there. I have a million different ideas. Just email me, and I'll be more than happy to share them with you. And now I've been going for 44 minutes straight, so I'm going to ask Kathy, let's start answering some of those questions before I lose my voice, and we'll continue on from there. So can we have those web questions, or if anyone else has any questions so far?
Well, hi, Allie. On the web, actually, you might have just answered some of the questions by giving out your email address.
Okay.
Let's see. George from Aberdeen, Maryland, wanted to know if he could get your referral program that you spoke of.
Yes, definitely. All he has to do is email me, and I'll email it right to him. But then again, George, my recommendation is to go back in the Member Solutions archives, and I spoke about this a number of times, and it's there. But also there's some teleseminars that I did specifically on referrals, because referrals are like a many-fold, like a spider web, where there's many different things that are tying into the referral program. It's not just asking for referrals. It's not just asking people to give you organizations, but it goes into a whole bunch of other things like business appreciation, going in and meeting with organizations, giving free passes to companies so that they can send their employees, getting a relationship with the other businesses so that they refer people to you, you refer people to them. It's a huge spider web of different things. And it's if you only think of referrals as like one or two things, you're missing the whole boat. It's like the iceberg. You're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. We want to continually get referrals from many different sources. But anyway, bottom line, if you want, email me, I'll send it to you, but definitely check out the archives and all the old conference calls we did. Anything else?
Okay. Yes, there's a few others. And I'd like to add just really quick, if anyone's listening that's not sure how to access the archived information that Allie's talking about, all you do is log into your Member Solutions account on the left side navigation, click Consulting, and then you'll be able to choose either the teleconference area or choose just the consulting email area, and that's where he's talking about all kinds of great information is archived. There's probably, about 160 teleseminars up there, I think.
I've done one a month for the last almost 4 years, right? And then there was Melody, John Gayston, and then a whole host of other special guests. So it's incredible. And, Kathy, I find it funny, like when you and I were at the Super Show in Florida, people come up to me and probably to you, and because you do teleseminars all the time as well, and they tell me about how their kids listen to us in the car. And I had one of the guys with him and his wife and his family, and the minute I started talking, the kid's ears kind of like peaked up, and she looked at me like going like, I know this voice. Where do I know this voice from? And Dad and Mom have been forcing her to listen to my teleseminars in their car while they were driving down to the Super Show. So, yeah, it's out there, and, it's weird how, so many people listen and know so much about, I know me, because I just put it all out there, I tell everybody about my child and my desires and my dreams and all that, so I feel like I have a lot of good friends out there that I've never even met, but they know who I am. But definitely jump on that. So what else do you say? There's a few others?
Yes, sir, there is. George has another question about your teacher tribute promotion. He wants to know if you have a pre-made letter or an outline for the program.
I have every- everything, and normally it's just for next level clients, but for this conference call, I'm going to share it with whoever wants it, and if you email me, I'll send you the PDF of the letter. I'll send you the PDF of the letter, I'll send you the copy of the envelope and also the ninja scroll, and then I'll send you a cover letter on what needs to be done and what process to follow step by step so you could use this on your back to school campaign.
Awesome. I think I'll email you too.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Let's see. Allison already asked what your email. Well, she asked what your email address was because she was going to ask you about the Hello Teacher info, but I think you've answered that.
Yeah.
And Kara wants to know. She said, if teachers are not allowed to give out passes in class, is there anything else you could do instead?
Well, you know what's interesting, and I don't know because I do. Kara's from Westchester, and I'm from New York, and we are really there's a weird law. Or at least they say that this is the case. I don't know how true it is. But it's said in West Islip, in the East Islip School District where I live, I actually came from West Islip, and the teachers in West Islip said this, but East Islip is a town over. It's all in the Islip Township, and they don't follow the same rules. But I heard that in West Islip they said if a teacher recommends a specific program, the school as a public school system is liable to pay for it. Now, I've never found any support on this. What I find, though, is teachers will do what they want to do. If they believe in the program that you have, normally you'll be able to break through those barriers. And this is why we're kind of ninja-esque kind of covert action where we're talking to the teacher, we're giving them credit, we're really showing them we care about them, and it's not a lie, it's true. And then we're asking them to send back this card with the kid to give their kid a prize, and we're getting their email tips, and we're slowly instituting it. So whenever that teacher has a chance, they'll promote you. Other than that, I recommend by doing it by parent-teacher days to go in and get involved with the PTA. Remember, the PTA is not part of the school system. It's a private organization normally that's set aside, so they don't always follow all the rules. They're able to get their own funding and do things on their own. But anyway, we have to kind of subtly get our way into that teacher's heart so that when it is time for them to talk to Mrs. Jones, who has a son who has ADD and he's not listening, she'll under the table hand out that pass or just say, here's a school that I recommend that I've recommended a bunch of my students to. But it does take work. There's no doubt, Kara. I mean, you and I talk all the time. It's not an easy task. So I hope I answered that question.
I think so. Let's see. There's a few people are saying that on the web it was hard to hear your email address. So
okay, it's Renshi. Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I. Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. And again, if you ever have a problem, you could go to my website, LINinja.com, or, I'm sorry, it's Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. I think I said it, LINinja.com. Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. But you could always go to my website, LINinja.com. That's my school site. Or go to takingittothenextlevel.com, and there's access there. And also, you could always ask anybody at Member Solutions. They'll right away forward you my email.
Super.
Okay.
Those are all the questions we have at this moment on the web. So maybe there's someone on the phone that might like to ask a question.
Anybody out there have another question at all? We're already 15 minutes into the conference. We only have a little bit of time left. So let me know. And if I hear from anybody else? Okay. All right, let me talk a little bit more about marketing. You know, I'm not a marketing expert by all means, although I know much more than a lot of marketing experts. Now, what does that mean? That means that there are a heck of a lot of people out there that claim to know marketing. They've done their 2 years of college or 4 years of college, and they have no real-world experience about how to market a school. Now, I'm going to use this as an example because my daughter loves the old TV show, Bewitched. She loves it because I kind of bought her all the old television shows, and I wanted to watch stuff that had a lot of pure, good kind of messages in it. Other than the smoking and the drinking that they do on every episode, I think that it was a really nice kind of show. Anyway, Darren Stevens, if you've ever seen Bewitched, he's this marketing guy, and it's his ultimate goal to come up with concepts on how to get a market brand out there. Back in the day, the concept was, hey, we'll get the message out there, we'll design a slogan, a meme, they call it nowadays. Meme is where your slogan is tied into your message, and it connects to your overall picture of your school. For example, my message is Long Island Ninjutsu Centers. It's not just kicking and punching. It's the martial arts and beyond. And we've added a new tagline on the bottom. Please don't steal these two taglines. It's called, We Are the Ivy League of Martial Arts. So currently, right now, we're running 58 TV spots, TV commercials a week, and that's what it says. Long Island Ninjutsu Centers, where it's not just kicking and punching, it's the martial arts and beyond. We are the Ivy League of Martial Arts. So anyway, your meme is your tagline. What are you? In those few words, does it tell who you are and what you do? That's the key that you have to get across. But anyway, the reason why I brought this up is that marketing is no longer an easy task. Don't forget that there's a huge amount, and again, I wrote an article on this, of white noise going on in people's minds. You know this from having a conversation. You could be talking and looking in someone's eyes, and they could listen and nod and say, uh-huh, yeah, I gotcha. And at the end, you say, what did I say? And they could even feed it back to you and not know at all what you're saying. There's a difference between someone who listens and really, truly hears you. So our goal is to be consistent, again, with that word, consistency of persistency or persistent consistence, right? Our ultimate goal is to always, always, always get the message out there. So when we're talking about referrals, we don't just pin a referral program, put it together, pin it up on our blackboard, talk about it a few days in class, and hope for people to be so enthusiastic and motivated that they're going to run out and refer you millions of members. You have to market your referral program. Now, you don't have to market in a traditional sense, although we've mailed postcards, we've done things, but you have to get out there and market. You have to keep it fresh in people's mind why it's so important. You know, I don't know if you find this in your schools, but I find it most certainly in my schools that people are becoming more and more creatures of last minute. They react at the last minute. We have a movie night, they wait till the day before. We have a tournament, they're trying to get in after registration is closed. A lot of people are doing that. And it's not because that, well, there are a few reasons. One, because they're always waiting till the very last minute something better comes up. They don't want to commit their money and their name to something that they may back out of, because that commitment is a big fear in our society today. But what happens is that you're in their head with 50 million other things. You know, you're talking to a parent about a movie night, and they're thinking, well, they have to go to a baseball game, a football game, a soccer game with all their different kids. They have a christening on that weekend, so on and so forth. So we have to penetrate their thought process, not in a negative way, but in a good way, where you get the name out there, where all of a sudden it becomes on their radar. My young cousin students of mine, they're both Nidan, second-degree black belts in my school. They used to travel all over the country with me, and when we were driving in my car, they used to play. Of course, they're in college now. They used to play a game called Cheese It. If they saw a yellow car, they'd punch each other and yell, Cheese It. You know, once they started looking for yellow cars, that's all I heard in the back of the truck, Cheese It, Cheese It, Cheese It. And the real reason for that was because once it got to their radar, it was on their radar and they were able to remember it and pick it up. So another example is this, is that I was watching TV a few months ago, and in between, a little flash of a second between commercial, it would flash a screen, no more than a second and a half, and it was about that show, The Mole. Now, I never knew until I checked into it that this was a source of marketing. I thought it was somehow a glitch of a videotape that they didn't erase, where they didn't fit the piece close enough, and it showed the TV show The Mole, and boom, it was off the screen. I honestly, in my heart and soul, thought this was a mistake. Lo and behold, I found out that this marketing campaign was called Flash Marketing, where they were just throwing that up, 1 second The Mole would go off, and they just did this over and over and over again. When that TV show started marketing months later for the TV show The Mole, I already was aware of the show, and my ears and mind was peaked, and I was watching the commercials. So what they did was they pre-framed and prepared people way ahead of time to understand what the show was all about, or to at least create an interest. We don't do enough of this in our martial arts schools. We're not doing this with our referral programs. We're not out there on a consistent basis. The last thing I'll comment on was a while back I had talked about if you thought of your marketing as an electric generator, Now, an electric generator powers, you know, by gasoline, it runs and it powers electricity, and the electricity runs the lights in your school, and it keeps your business open, runs air conditioners, and so on. If the generator fails, immediately your lights will shut off, and your air conditioner will shut off, and you have no electricity. My question is, if your generator was this machine, but we didn't really have it powered by gas, but it was powered by you going out and doing flyers, and you going out and handing out postcards, and you mailing out postcards, and you asking for referrals, and asking for special events that you could attend from people who know PTA members, et cetera, et cetera. My question to you is, if it were the return on investment of all the effort you put in, and the amount of leads that you got back out, if those leads were electricity and all the time you put in was the generator, how much would your lights in your school be on? Do you find yourself marketing 2 hours a week, 4 hours a week, 6 hours a week? Really, the most important thing other than teaching and running a school is marketing your school, getting the word out there. And if we're only putting in, which it's amazing to me at how many people come to me and try to join Taken to the next level, and they're on their last-ditch effort, because if they don't make it work, they're out of business. Now, interestingly enough, I find that people who are doing well and going out there and learning more and growing their school always end up becoming these big heavy hitters, because they already know that they have to work hard, do it over and over and over again, and be consistent. My ultimate goal with this last comment is for you guys to think about long and hard about what you're doing to market your schools. How much you're really getting out there, and how much effort are you putting in? Is it 20 hours a week? How much of your marketing budget, if you have a marketing budget, how much of it is part of your gross? You know, some people say anywhere as high as 25% or 20% of your gross will go into your marketing. Do you do that? You know, some people then will say, well, I don't have the money to market the school. That's okay, too. Go get a cheap flyer. Go out and deliver it. Or don't go and get anything. Go and knock on doors. You could have a clipboard and knock on doors. The ultimate goal is to get students in your school, period. If you got 5 in a month, more than what you're doing because you went out knocking on doors, then that's 5 students a month, 5 new students a year on top of every month. You're looking at whatever it's going to be, 70 new students a year. 70 times 1,500 or 1,000, that's 70 grand more a year for that little bit of effort that you're going to put forward. Anyway, my goal again is to try to encourage you to take a hard, long, hard look at what you're doing and how you're doing it and how much you're doing it to find out what is actually going on. Anyway, I'm gonna ask if we have any more questions. I've already gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 emails, actually 6 emails on requests for the teacher-student referral and old student program. So I'll send out stuff to everybody. And any other questions, Kathy, on the web, or anyone else want to ask real quickly?
There's no more on the web. Is there any on the phone?
Yes.
Anybody? Hello? Last call. Okay. Well, then that's really it. I'm going to wrap it up then, because I don't want to hammer it home over and over again and talk about the same stuff. One thing before I close, and I hope I don't get in trouble, Kathy, on this, I just wanted to mention to everybody is that my new book came out at the Super Show, and I've already gotten some people that have given it such rave reviews. The book is called 101, it's called Martial Art Business 101, and it's in quotes, hoo-yah, like the Navy SEALs yell, living the dream, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all about customer service, it's all about marketing, it's all about employees, it's all about goal setting and time management, and I'm really excited about the book, and I've gotten some great quotes. One guy told me that his wife was mad at him because all he does is read this book. He's been through it 3 times. He's used 2 highlighters, and in the back of the book it has a section for notes, which is like 6 pages long. He said he's already added in like 10 or 20 pages into that section. And not to brag, but he had said that this book is really kind of the best martial art book that he's read. And the only reason why I could almost see what he's talking about is because I'm really just taking simple concepts and sharing it with you, stuff that if you wanted to, you could tear out of the book and use right away. And I think that, honestly, it's a great thing. So if anybody's interested in purchasing the book, you know, I'm going to go above and beyond today and say that if you purchase the book, I'll give you a month of Next Level free, or if you join Next Level, I'll give you the book for free. I'd love to work with you guys, and I hope that you use it. And if I got in trouble, Kathy, you'll have to kill me afterwards.
You're definitely not in trouble. You're definitely not in trouble, Allie.
I just think it's a good thing. And in fact, you've got super shows selling them for me and telling people about them. So
right.
I think
we're putting that in our rewards for soon, are we not?
I think so, yes.
So you totally can't get in trouble, Allie.
Good. Awesome. So anyway, guys and girls, you know, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being on my call again. Also, keep your ears peeled for our weekly email, which I did another audio, which is basically kind of like a little bit of what we just did today. And I'm available all the time, so email me. Do not feel funny. Email me. I have a BlackBerry. I sit on the couch while I'm watching TV, and I answer consulting emails all the time. So, guys, let's definitely get together, talk together, and let's work together on growing your schools. I'm really happy about it, and thanks, Kathy, and thanks for everybody for being here, and I'll talk to you real soon. Have a great day.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.